controls your life? Who's in charge of your life? Who commands it? Who is the master of your destiny? Perhaps your first, your most gut-level response to that question is, I do, of course. I'm the master of my own destiny. I control what happens in my life. I'm in charge. Perhaps as you start to think about it a little bit more, you think of all the other things that try to control your life or do control your life. Perhaps finances is quite the master in your life these days. Or maybe you feel a little bit like that old song, how to go 16 tons, another day older and deeper in debt. Perhaps it feels just a little bit like you're owned by the company store. Your boss, your work, your daily grind, that's what's master in your life, dictating where you will go and who you will be and how you will act. Perhaps it feels like circumstances are dictating your life. Luck or lack thereof, coming and going. Whatever it is that seems to control your life, to be master, Paul states in our scripture today that the real master of our life, the ultimate authority, the ultimate control, belongs to no one else but God. We as Christians have this as part of our faith, that we believe that we are not our own, that we are indeed God's, that we have been bought with a price, and a very high price at that. We have been bought with the price of the cross, the price of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is to this end that Jesus came. It is to this end that Jesus died. Paul puts it this way. For this end, Christ died and lives again, so that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. That he might be Lord. Is that a word that carries meaning in your life? Is it a word when we say Jesus is Lord, or we talk about Jesus being Lord of your life, or you take the membership vows and you say, do you promise to serve Christ as your Lord? Does that hold meaning, or does it just kind of go right by? Perhaps it seems a rather strange word. After all, what else do we really use it for in everyday activity? What meaning does it have for somebody to be Lord of your life? It seems the most commonplace I run into language of, like, Lord is in fiction and fantasy, TV and books of princes and queens and kings in places far away and a long time ago. It seems lords are something that belongs to another era and another time. Perhaps it seems a little strange to talk about anything being Lord of your life, because after all, as Americans, didn't we kind of fight a war over this kind of thing? You know, get rid of the king, you know, no taxation without representation. Does this ring a bell to anybody? There's a sense where we as Americans are into rugged individualism. We determine our own destiny. We are our own people. And yet, if we take this scripture seriously, we are really, if we take our faith seriously, if we take the statements we make in our baptism and membership vows seriously, we are really saying that we are not masters of our own life, but that Christ is indeed master of our life. Perhaps the term Lord, when you use it for Christ, does seem to dictate a position of honor and respect. But does it really carry that sense of authority? It's been, I think, so long since we have had, people in our nation have had any kind of daily contact with somebody who is a lord or master in their life. Somebody who really can dictate whether they live or whether they die. Where they live and where they go. That perhaps that sense of Lord holding more than honor has disappeared. But if you were to look up Lord in the dictionary, you would quickly find out that it's not simply a term of honor or respect, but it is a person having great power and authority. It is a ruler and a master. And if we talk to our Greek scholar here today, I'm sure she would tell us, because she's more into Hebrew, she knows Greek very well, she would tell us that the word in the New Testament that is used over and over again for Lord is definitely a word that means master, ruler. It is a word that carries with it great authority. And how it is used in the New Testament when referring to Christ, it is not simply a ruler or a master, but it has even greater significance. The ruler, the master, the one supreme authority. Jesus is not a Lord, one authority among many. He is the Lord, the ultimate supreme authority. Now, all of this talk about Jesus as Lord may bring to mind for many of you a chorus that we're actually going to sing at the end of the service. And if McGray was preaching, he would sing it for you right now. But I want you to come back next week, so I'm going to read the words to you. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that familiar? It actually is scripture. It comes from Philippians 9 through 11. My sore throat is catching up to me. Where Paul writes these words as part of a much longer and very beautiful praise and confession to God and of the person of Christ. But before that phrase, He is Lord, or Jesus is Lord, was a familiar chorus. Before it was a familiar slogan, it was something much more. It was a countercultural statement. It was a statement directly in opposition of the culture in which the people that started to use that as a confession, as a statement of who Jesus was to them, this world, and their lives. You see, in the era in which the early church began, it was under the rule of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was a great and vast empire. But it was not a democracy in the way in which we think of democracy. It did not have necessarily benevolent dictators. It had Caesars. They came in very many shapes and forms. But one thing was true. Rome held ultimate power over the people that lived under its authority. And Caesar held ultimate power over Rome. There was a common phrase then. The phrase was this: Caesar is Lord. Caesar is the ultimate authority in life. Caesar holds sway over life and death. Well, in direct opposition to that, as the people came to know through the missionary work of Paul and Peter and others of the disciples, they began to proclaim a new reality. They began to look directly in the face of Rome and say, you know what? You aren't the ultimate authority in this world. God is. You know what? You aren't the ultimate authority in my life. God revealed in Jesus Christ is. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. It was a very radical and very powerful statement. It said in the face of what looked like factual reality that not Caesar, but Jesus Christ held sway over their life and their death. Caesar did a lot to try to prove them wrong. And that's why we have what is called martyrs. People would actually be told, all you have to do to save your life is say, Caesar is Lord. That's where the phrase comes from. In the face of death, they would look in their captor's eyes and they would say, Jesus is Lord. They say, no, I'm going to give you one more chance. Now, who holds ultimate sway over whether you live and die? And look who's holding the sword. And they would say, Jesus is Lord. because ultimately their life was not in the hands of even Caesar. Not their physical life, but their spiritual life became most important to them. And that states that they were not ultimately accountable to Rome, but they were ultimately accountable to God. As it says at the end of our scripture, all will stand before God. All of us will be accountable not to our bosses, not even to our families, not even to governments or any authority. Ultimately, we are responsible to only one authority, and that is God. So here's the question. Who has ultimate authority over your life? Who is Lord? It may often feel like it is everybody else but you. The good news is that's not true. It may feel like that huge responsibility falls to you, or that you even want it. But that's not who it is either. The invitation today on Christ the King Sunday is to claim for your life the truth that God through Jesus Christ is who we call Lord. And it is not just respect or honor that we're giving, but absolute authority and accountability for our life. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that is really good news. Because if I'm going to be accountable to anybody, if I'm going to be controlled by anybody, there are a lot of people I don't want it to be. And quite frankly, as much as I try to have it be me, I'm glad it's not that either, because I'm not as good at it as God. If there's anybody I want to trust my life with, it's God in Jesus Christ. Because of all I've read in Scripture, and all I've seen in the lives of other Christians and in church history, and all I've seen in my own life, there is no one more trusted, no one more loving, no one more gracious and forgiving, and thank God for that, than Jesus Christ, my Lord. There are many people out there and many things asking to be Lord of your life. Whatever you decide to believe and however you decide to live, one thing will remain true. One day, we will all find out the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord.